So this morning, let's just open up with a word of prayer. And I hope that what I have to say is going to touch your heart and challenge you this morning. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the sun that is shining this morning. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth, Lord Jesus, that these people would know that this is something that you are continuing to work deeply into my life. I pray that it is something that you would work deep into their lives this morning. That when we walk out of this building, Father, there would be a defining moment in our lives that would change us, God, to say that I'm going this far and I'm not looking back, but I'm going to move forward into all that you have for me, Jesus. May that be the cry of our hearts this morning, to go deeper with you. In your name, amen. So this morning, I just want to talk a little bit. Have you ever asked God or said to God, I want to go deeper, I want to draw closer, and I want to know your will above anything else, above my own will, my own agendas. Have you ever said that to the Lord? I have, and recently, God's response to me hasn't necessarily been filled with, you know, happy thoughts and feathers, you know. Oh, yes, Melody, yes, I'm so grateful you want to go deeper. It's been okay. Okay, Melody, you want to go deeper with me? Then let me lead you to a place and cut away and prune some areas that are damaged, some areas that are dead or non-productive, and allow God, and I've allowed God, and I hope that you allow him this morning to bring to light some things in your life that are holding you back from going to that next level with him. And sometimes our response will, you know, after he brings these things to light, our response can be, no, I'm good, God. You know, not that area, you know. We'll just, you know, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at, and that area doesn't need to be dealt with. I'm all set. But this morning, I pray that as I share that we can come to a place where we allow God to point out some areas in our lives that need some pruning. And Todd actually came up with this title, The Art of Pruning is the name of the message. And I could not come up with one. And he said to me this morning, how about The Art of Pruning? I'm like, that's perfect. So this message was not done alone. Thanks, Todd. But let's open our Bibles this morning, if you have them, or your devices, to John chapter 15. We're going to start right from verse 1, and we're just going to read the first two verses. And this is Jesus talking. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. I wanted to emphasize this morning that word when I was reading it. It wasn't like he cuts off some things or, you know, he skips over this. No, he cuts off every branch in us that does not bear fruit. Have you ever felt like God wanting to cut some things out of your life? Have you ever felt him wanting to prune some things to help you to grow and to mature? Have you ever felt God wanting to lead you to a place that maybe you necessarily didn't want to go? But he needs to get you there so that in the end, can become, as my dad always uses this phrase, and I really love it, that so that you can become all he has intended you to become and to know him in a way that you've not yet known him. And so God has been doing this in my life recently. He's been cutting and he's been pruning a lot of things these days. I want to share some things, and I might read a little bit from my notes just because I really want to emphasize some things that I feel are important this morning. And I pray that, you know, maybe we can, I can challenge us to take a look within our own hearts this morning to say, God, what is it that you want to cut off in my life? What is it that needs to be pruned? And I even Googled the practice of pruning just for ha-has, and I thought it was really poignant and on key as to what needs to be said this morning. It says, the practice of pruning, it entails targeted removal of diseased, damaged, dead, non-productive, structurally unsound, or otherwise unwanted tissue from crop and landscape plants. So this morning, we're going to be talking about cutting and pruning, and isn't this such a happy message? Isn't this such a, encouraging message, though? But it is something that I feel from the Lord for us this morning and for Wolcott Christian Life for you as well. For me, this first branch I'm going to call, this first thing in my own life that I have felt God dealing with is the avoidance branch. And I have felt God leading me to a place that I have not wanted to go, and I'm calling it the place of solitude. It's the state or being, it's the state or situation of being alone, lonely or an uninhabited place. And I feared this place. You know, from the time I was a kid, if you know me at all, I'm an extroverted type of person. I really don't have a problem meeting new people or, you know, making friends. It's not really been something that's been a struggle. I know that some people are introverts and they don't like that at all. I am not like that. I actually thrive off of being around people. I really enjoy that. But I have felt God leading me to this place, and I have refused for a couple of years now to come to this place. And I would fill up my time just so that I didn't have to be alone. And I filled that time up with, and I'm not going to go into all of this morning because I don't feel it's relevant, but I did fill up my time with wrong relationships with men, even some friendships in my life that were hindering me in my walk from the Lord, just so that I didn't have to feel that feeling of aloneness. And a couple of months ago, I picked up a book that I actually started 2 years ago. It's called The Path of Loneliness. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but it's by a woman named Elizabeth Elliot. And I picked it up 2 years ago, right shortly after my divorce, and I started to read it. And I put it down because I said, no, God, this is not my path. I'm not going here. I have already been here a couple of times, and I refuse to go here. And it was a very stubborn thing in my own life. But a couple months ago, I felt like I needed to pick this back up. And Elizabeth Elliot, if you know anything about her, she was a missionary. She and her husband, first of all, she was married 3 times and widowed 3 times. And she wrote this book after her second husband had passed. And so her first husband and she went to the mission field to reach an unreached people group. Her husband, along with 4 other missionaries, were martyred. And Elizabeth stayed on the mission field and eventually led those unreached people groups to the Lord. I think that's awesome. She finished the work. She completed the work that God had for her. And I just want to read real quickly a couple of things from this book. The name of the chapter that I'm reading from is called A Field with a Treasure in It. And she talks about this field. It's called loneliness. And this is what she says about it. She says, our loneliness cannot always be fixed, but it can always be accepted as the very will of God for now. And that turns it into something beautiful. Perhaps it is like the field wherein lies the valuable treasure. We must buy the field. It is no sun-drenched meadow embroidered with wildflowers. It is a bleak and empty place. But once we know it contains a jewel, the whole picture changes. The empty scrap of forgotten land suddenly teems with possibilities. Here is something we can not only accept, but something we're selling everything to buy. In my case, selling everything meant giving up the self-pity and the bitter questions. I do not mean we are to go out looking for chances to be as lonely as possible. I am talking about acceptance of the inevitable. And when, through a willed act, we receive this thing we did not want, then loneliness, the name of the field nobody wants, is transformed into a place of hidden treasure. I just love that. There's something to be, you know, when God is sometimes leading us to places that we don't want to necessarily go, he wants to do something in us. He wants to bring us closer and deeper with him. And this place is a place that I have avoided, but I believe that this place that he's wanting and longing to, I just feel like, come on, Melody, if you'll just come to this place, I'm going to have you go deeper. You're going to know me in a way you've never known before. There's going to be fruit that comes out of your life that just you could never have imagined. My response to God has been one of surrender, has been one of, okay, Lord, I'm going to turn, and Elizabeth Elliot, she says, turn your loneliness into solitude and your solitude into prayer. And that has been really key for me so that when I do find times when I'm alone, when I don't have my children, when they're with their dad, I take that time, and instead of filling it up with things that I shouldn't be filling it up with, I get in that time of prayer or worship, and I go deep. And I talk with the Lord, and I cry sometimes, because for me, loneliness often will come in waves, and these waves can be heavy at times, and they crash, and they just feel like I'm getting pounded on. And you know, sometimes when I'm at home, when I don't have the children, I could be watching TV, you know, stupid Hallmark movie, sappy, whatever, or you know, I'll just be hanging out by myself. And I literally will just like burst out in tears because I just feel the weight of loneliness. I'm like, oh God, you know, I just hate this, you know. And it's not that I can't call friends, because I know that I do have friends. I'm not saying that, but I just really know in my heart that this is where God wants me right now. And I just feel sort of a calling from the Lord, come back to your first love, Melody. Come back to your first love. Sometimes I could be out with the kids, with you know, eating dinner, and we're in a restaurant. We do that every Friday night, sort of a little tradition that we started. And I'll just be sitting there and like, I have to hold back tears because I can, you know, I'll look around and I'll see families, I'll see moms and dads with their kids, and you know, I see that husband and wife interacting, and that is a desire that I have. And that loneliness sometimes it just kind of floods in. But I just feel God asking me, Melody, will you turn this time into prayer? Will you turn it into a time where you can come and know me as your first love? And I know that there's fruit to come forth from this place. All I know to do in this time is to surrender to the gardener in his process and trust that whatever he wants to cut out of my life, whatever he wants to prune, is so that I can bear more fruit and to know him in a deeper way that I've longed to know him. The second branch this morning that I want to talk about, that God has been really cutting out of my life for a while now, but really honing in and shining the light, is I'm calling it the should have looked like branch. The should have looked like branch. This one hits me hard. I'm 37. I'm a divorced single mom of two. And it's not quite how I pictured my life. You know, at 16, actually even younger, probably like 13, I felt a real strong calling to the ministry. I felt called to go to Bible school, and I actually thought I was going to meet my husband at Bible school, and that didn't happen. But, you know, we always have this picture of how we think life should look. And mine did not quite turn out that way. You know, if you know me at all, you know that I'm an organizer. I have to have things planned out. I think my mom knows that me the best about me. I am like, I got my list for the grocery store, and I pretty much don't veer off that list. And when I go on vacations, I'm somebody who packs probably, no joke, 2 weeks ahead of time. I'll begin to get things together. I actually make a list of things I need to bring on vacation and check it off as I go, or cross it off as I go. And, you know, I have an agenda. And when things don't happen or something disrupts that agenda, I get very anxious, I get flustered, I kind of panic, and that's something that God is kind of saying, all right, Melody, let's hone this in here and let's work on this. I'm also somebody who likes to be on time. I'm sure some of you have heard the saying, to be early is to be on time, to be on time is to be late. So I really have that philosophy for my life. I'm very much on schedule. But God has been cutting and pruning this area of my life. When certain things that maybe we've hoped for a long time don't turn out the way that we had hoped or planned, it can bring discouragement and feeling as though maybe you just want to give up. You want to give up on life, or you want to give up on God, or your hope can just, like, where did my hope go? I don't have it anymore. And in Proverbs 13:12, we even have a scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And sometimes that happens to us when hope is deferred. Our hearts get sick, but there will come a time when Jesus fulfills that longing. It might not necessarily be in the way that we had thought or in the way that we had planned, but he does fulfill our heart's desires. Most recently, this is going to be kind of silly, But I did date somebody for a few months, and, you know, tall, dark, and handsome. You know, I was like, wow, this guy's perfect for me. He was on the worship team and just everything. You know, I had my agenda, you know, it was to look like the Hallmark movie, you know. Handsome guy comes in, you know, saves the single girl, you know, the single mom of two. And it didn't quite have the Hallmark ending I had hoped for. But God did use the situation. He did use that circumstance in my life to adjust my way of thinking. And one of the ways that he did that, again, I'm quoting Elizabeth Elliot. This is really her sermon. But she says, "The heart which has no agenda but God's is the heart at leisure from itself. Its emptiness is filled with the love of God." And I just love that. So I've just asked the Lord most recently to adjust my agendas. You know, what is it, God, that you want to do? What is it that you see from my life? And help me to have no agenda. And that's hard for me. But help me to have no agenda but yours. There's a devotional that I've also been reading. And if you ever have trouble getting into the Bible or you're struggling with your devotions, I'd highly recommend, this is a devotional by Tim Keller and Sam Alberry. Tim Keller is great for really anything. He writes a lot of good stuff. But they literally go take two verses at a time and help you to dissect that. So if you're ever having trouble getting into the Word of God, grab a devotional to help you get started. And I'd recommend this one. But they say, he says in there, he says, "Is with pruning a real tree, it may look harsh and wasteful and include cutting away good things from us that can be painful to lose. But here's the key. But if it draws us deeper into the life of Jesus, then it's worth it." And this is really what I want this message to convey, is that I know it could seem like a depressing message, you know, God cutting away things, but if it's drawing us deeper in our relationship with him, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. And I know that it's not easy to lose things, especially things that we've held dear. It's not, you know, for some of us, it may have been loved ones. It's not easy to lose those things. But Jesus does something if we allow him. He does something in our hearts. He draws us closer to him. And I'm beginning to see that when I can lay down my agenda and what it should have looked like and all that goes with that, I can see God, the gardener, begin to replace those branches with fruit-bearing branches. His agendas, his love for people, and his desires for my life. Eugene Peterson says that that's the whole spiritual life. It's learning how to die. That's the whole spiritual life. It's learning how to die. We practice our death by giving up our will to live on our own terms. This is where God has me at. It has been difficult. But I pray that I know that we're, even though that this has been a very difficult time and place for me to be, and I feel the cutting and it's painful, but I also feel this freedom. I feel a freedom from myself, my self-absorbance, and my self-seeking agendas. I want to draw closer. I want everything and anything in my life that is holding me back from him to be cut out. There's other areas in my life that I'm not going to really get into this morning, but I quickly want to mention that he's dealing with a judgmental spirit in my life, and it's something that God started probably even before I was divorced, but much after I was divorced, God really began to deal with this in my life. It's quite humbling if you've ever walked through a divorce or something that has brought just a complete change to your life. It can be quite humbling. And my desire has been now, Jesus, how can I help those? Because it was such a painful time for me. And I just want my life, I just want it to be used. God, if I see other women, especially women, but, you know, other people, men as well, that are hurting because of going through something like that, don't let me stand by and judge, but help me to just come alongside and say, how can I walk with you through this? You know, there's no judgment here. You know, I don't need to know why your marriage has fallen apart. It's not any of my business. But there is something that I can do, and that's just come alongside and say, how can I help? You know, I've been through it. I know the pain. And so there's no judgment. So God has really been dealing with that judgmental spirit in me since that time. A week or so ago, I was getting my hair done, and the lady who cuts my hair, her name is Bev. I used to work for her back in high school, so I've known her a long time. And she is a Christian. When I was in high school, she was quite intimidating, and I didn't really know her all that well to know that she was a Christian then. But she and her husband served in ministry for quite a few years in the Catholic Church. They were youth leaders. And she was talking to me this week and asking me about, you know, what's been going on. And I told her that I was going to be sharing this week. And so she was asking me what I was sharing on. And so I just told her a little bit. And she began to tell me stories about her and her husband. And her husband has passed away. It's been about 10 years now or so. And we were talking about loneliness. And, you know, she feels that. But anyway, she was saying that she was driving in her car day, and a song came on that reminded her of her husband, and she just began to cry because she was missing him. And she said she felt the Lord say to her, Bev, would you trade who you are now to have your husband back? And she said, at first I ignored it because she's like, that's not from God. And she said, I just kept on driving, and you know. And then she said she heard it again, Bev, would you trade who you are now to have your husband back? And she said that her first response was anger. How dare you ask me that? You know, like, God, you know I'm sitting here crying, missing my husband. How dare you ask me this? But then she said, she came to the moment. She said it was a very powerful moment. And when she was sharing it with me, it's like you could feel God's presence just as she was sharing this. She said, no, God, I wouldn't trade who I've become to have my husband back. And she said, and she began to cry more. And her relationship with the Lord was more important, and who she had become was more important than having her husband, who she loved and missed so dearly. They had 20 years together. They met at 18, married a year later. So, you know, they had over 20 years together. It wasn't a small amount of time. But she said to the Lord, I wouldn't trade who I've become. I wouldn't trade it. And that spoke to me in that, while it can be painful to have things cut out of my life, or, you know, some life just happens, you know, and we lose people before we should, and divorce happens and it shouldn't. Painful things happen, and it's not that that's God, you know, but things are cut out of our lives, and God, if we allow Him, He can come in and do a work in us. And that devotional, as they said, there will be times when following Jesus becomes very painful. And they say, we are to expect this, but we have the comfort, and this is the key, we have the comfort of knowing that God is achieving something wonderful through it, enabling us to bear more and more fruit for Christ. So as we end this morning, I'm going to have TJ and Jose, they're going to hand out some note cards and pens. Mom, if you would come up on the piano here. I just want us to take some time this morning, just a few minutes. And they're just going to, if you need a pen, take a pen. If you don't, then don't take a pen. But we're just going to take a couple of minutes. And I want us to ask the Lord, what are some areas in my life that you want to cut off? What are some areas in my life that need to be pruned? Have you wallowed in self-pity and bitterness when your own agenda hasn't turned out the way that you had hoped? I have. And God's been changing that in my life. He's been pruning that area in my life. So let's just take a couple minutes here. And I was thinking that at the end of 2017, I keep a lot of things in my Bible just as little reminders. And at the end of the year, I pull out these note cards that I've put in my Bible, and I look to see, you know, and specifically with this, at the end of 2017, let's look and see, you know, what we wrote down and see, wow, God, you helped me to surrender this area. You cut this out of my life, and this is the fruit that has come forth from it. And then you can write down underneath that the fruit that you've seen come out of your life because you allowed God to work and to cut and to prune. So let's just take a couple minutes to search your hearts this morning. Psalm 4:4 says, when you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. This has been something that God has been working on me in, is being silent before Him and allowing His voice and His plans and His will and His ways to take over, and allowing God to cut off everything and everything that hinders me from going deeper. So this morning, as we close the time out, I pray that we don't jump ship when the waves come, because it's easy to do that. That we stay in the boat, we stay in the place that He's calling us to stay, so that He can complete the work that that He wants to complete. There's fruit to be born. There's fruit to come forth out of our lives. When we can just get out of the way and allow God to have His way, I think we're going to begin to see things come out of our lives and come out of each other's lives that we could have never thought or imagined. So this morning, let's stand together, and I just want to reread that Psalm 4. Like I said, at night, this has been something I've started to do. Sometimes I fall asleep, I'm not going to lie, but when I get in bed, I search my heart, and I'm silent, and I ask the Lord, how can I go deeper? What areas in my life need to be cut out? What's holding me back? What's holding me back? And then I ask the Lord to help me, because I know that it's up to myself. I'm going to try and I'm going to fail. And so I ask the Lord to help me to surrender to His agendas. And just to, it's a simple thing. And I sometimes in the mornings when I'm driving to work, I probably look silly to people driving by me. But I'll have worship music on. And just my posture lately has been, I lift my one hand, I don't lift both. Well, sometimes, no, I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, when I'm really into it, no. But I do, I lift a hand and I just say, Lord, my life is surrendered. Do what you want through me today. Do you what you want in me today. Because the older I'm getting, the Lord is showing me, hey, it's not all about you, Melody. It's really not. And that doesn't mean that what I've gone through or that what I am going through that God takes lightly or that it's not serious to Him or that He doesn't see it. But I really feel God is just shifting and saying, it's just, you only have so much time here on this earth, and it's not about you. It's not about you. And so this morning as we end, if you'll just join with me, just in simple, you can do one hand, two hands, just a simple surrender of with those things that you've written down on your mind. And I'm going to ask that not only this morning, but maybe every morning that you wake up with these things on your heart and you surrender them anew every morning, because it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. So this morning, God, we come before you. We see the areas. And God, even the ones that maybe we don't see, I pray that you would bring to light, as painful as they may be. But God, your word says that you cut off every branch. You cut off everything. Everything that is not bearing fruit in our lives. And I pray that this morning for your people, that you would begin that process of cutting, that you would begin that process of pruning. And I pray that their response to you would not be one of putting their hand up and saying, no, not that, God. But God, that it would be one of surrender and of humility and say, oh God, do the work that needs to be done in my life to draw me closer to you. Do the work that needs to be done in my life so that my life is no longer about me, but God, it is about the person that I'm going to meet at work today, that it's about my coworker that I'm going to be with for 8 hours, the next 8 hours. God, let it be about that. Cut off every relationship in our lives, God, that have held us back. Cut off every relationship that we've walked into willingly because we didn't want to be alone. God, cut it off. Cut it out. The things in our lives that we have said to you, God, no, it should have looked like this. God, break that in our spirits. Break it in our lives and say, no, this is the plan I have for you. Walk in it and see what great fruit will come forth from your life. Oh God, bring us to that place of surrendering and bring us to that place of humility. God, we know it's not easy, and that you are so loving and you're so merciful and you're so gracious and patient with us to bring us through this process. This is not an overnight thing. But God, you are patient. You are patient. You are patient to walk us through into these things that we've written down. You see them this morning, Lord. You see this and see our commitment to you. See our surrender to you this morning. Jesus, we surrender these things to you. Cut them out. Prune away. Do what needs to be done to complete the work in my life. So that when we do see you, we do face you, God, your words to us will be, well done, good and faithful servant. You surrendered. You surrendered. We surrender to you this morning. And so that when we come to the end of 2017, God, we can look at this note card and we can smile. Maybe it's a half smile at that time. But we can smile and we can say, yes, God, you worked this out of my life. And this is what you replaced it with. This is the fruit that's come forth because I surrendered, because I allowed you to work. And it's not in our own strength even that we can come and surrender, but it's you calling us to that place of surrender. And so I pray for your people this morning. Remind them each morning and remind them at night. Allow them to lay on their beds at night and call to remembrance this scripture verse about searching our hearts and being silent and listening and hearing. And in the mornings, God, our posture be one of surrender and of humility, of saying, do what you want with my life today. Do what you want to do through it today. I surrender, God, even the sadness and the pain. The pain, God, that the things and the situations that we have walked through, God, we surrender the pain. We don't wallow in self-pity. It's okay to be sad and it's okay to have pain, but to stay there, God, it's not where you want us to stay. You call us out of that and you ask us to continue to walk. I pray that this word would come to life even more than what I've been able to share, God, my little bit of sharing. I pray that this word would come to life in their lives. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. That's it.